love Might Delete Later.
I bloody hope you do. You can support our show by using the new Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment.
Just smash that link in the show description and support us now so we can keep making this podcast.
Thank you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Stevie and this is Tessa and we're the hosts of the Nobody Panic podcast. Excitingly, Nobody Panic, as in me and Tessa, are going to be doing the Unmute Festival, which is an online podcast festival in association with Acast.
Come and hang out with us, please. It's from the 20th to the 24th of October, the whole of the Unmute podcast festival. And if you're fans of the Adam Buxton podcast or Off Menu or the Blind Boy podcast or Films to Be Buried with Brett Goldstein or The Cuddle Club with Lou Sanders and many more, then all the tickets are up on the website at unmutepodcastfestival.com.
So get in there, and by that I mean come and watch it. Hello and welcome to Might Delete Later with me, Stevie Martin, who is factually correct when she says, or I say, social media is the end of civilization as we know it.
And me, Gina Martin, who thinks maybe that's true, but I believe we'll all be able to make it work and live happily ever after.
Oh, you are naive. You're a knave. Okay, to our guest.
Yes, our guest today is Henry Garrett, formerly Drawings of Dogs on Instagram. He is an illustrator, a cartoonist, drawing wholesome memes on social justice themes. He's written and illustrated for The New York Times, The I Newspaper, BuzzFeed and London Pride. He even created an alternative Valentine's card for the Fawcett Society and provided a feminist drawing of Meghan Markle's dog as a gift for her. And most importantly, he's also just releasing his debut book, This Book Will Make You Kinder, which is an empathy handbook, and his aim is that all of us read it and we're kinder after we read it. I've got two copies, so go out and buy it.
We chatted about loads of things that I found really interesting. What it feels like when you're putting things out there and for the first time, and why it's absolutely fine to message friends being like, can you please like this, because I'm doing it by myself and I feel like I've got my entire bum out.
We also, which I thought was really interesting, is the fact that Stevie, for the first time, was able to ask someone the question, do you not think social media is just morally fucked, though? Which was really good.
I said morally wrong, so...
But you meant the F word.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's a very philosophical man, and he agreed with me. Spoiler.
He did.
Okay. What's in your drafts this week, Jean?
In my drafts this week is that my phone is lava. You may be wondering what that means. Oh, I'll tell you. It means that I have this technique, which is the only way that I can have a productive and fulfilling life, which is that when I wake up, I am not allowed to touch my phone until I've done something good for myself, which we talked about previously, but I was like, I'm going to do it. And then I never did it.
Great.
I'm going to start my phone as lava. I'm going to make sure I don't touch it until I've either worked out or had a coffee or had a shower. And then that will be my like social media health thing, and you can check on me and ask if I'm doing it.
I will check on you and I will ask, because in my drafts, do you remember the other week and you said you wanted to watch The Social Dilemma, the documentary?
Yeah,
but you were frightened, you feared it. You feared the truth. I watched it, and I'm terrified of all social media now. It also made me very aware that I took some steps a few years ago to limit my social media usage, i.e. turning off all my push notifications. I'm fascinated that people still have Twitter and Instagram notifications. I don't know how anyone does it. I don't have any of those. It's great. Then I had to, my phone exploded, so I had to get like it wiped and get.
Did it actually explode? Because you've said this a couple times.
No, it just didn't explode. It just like wouldn't turn on and kind of went like boop, like imploded. So everything got wiped. And when I loaded my WhatsApp back on, I forgot by accident to do WhatsApp, to put WhatsApp notifications on, which for about a day, I was like, this is mad. And this is no way to live because I can't see what people are saying. I have to check in order to see if I've got WhatsApps. And I'm on day three now, and I'm going to keep it that way. Because actually, if something is a full emergency, and I mean someone has died, someone will ring. If it's a work thing, I check my WhatsApp enough to catch the work things. So it's
fine. I'm
going to
do this.
It just stops me, like all of those millions of times when your phone screen lights up and you go, oh, and you're like, oh,
yes.
It just stopped me doing that, which means that the moment that my phone lights up, I check a WhatsApp, then I'm on it for half an hour because I've decided to go to check like Twitter as well. So it's may already, it's kind of slashed my phone usage to about a third.
I'm literally doing it right now as you speak.
Do it right now. And the tip that they give you, at the end of the documentary, they give you loads of tips about how to limit your phone usage while also basically being like, unfortunately you can't, because psychologically it's, you're never going to be able to get off it and we're all screwed. But one of the little things you can do, and I'm going to start doing it today from now on, is to never click on something suggested for you. Always make your own decisions, because that takes the control away from the algorithm, from whatever nefarious, or not even nefarious, just ulterior motive your phone has against you. If you are making decisions, then you are, every time you make a decision that is yours and not suggested for you, you, that is coming from your brain, not secretly coming from your phone that you think is
that's
a decision
actually,
that you've
that's
made.
That's such a good tip that you can use across the board. So turn off notifications and never click on something suggested for you, because then you're doing it and the phone isn't learning for you.
Yes.
Oh, so, God. Look, the trainee has become the trainer.
I am now a wizard. Go to @mydeepladerpod on Instagram to look at all the posts that we discussed with Henry today, and just sit back and relax and have a great time, because I think this is one of my favourite episodes that we've recorded so far.
So every week we ask, what would we like to delete this week? And I'm going to start because mine's really boring. I woke up this morning, my entire womb was ejecting itself from my body.
Oh no.
And I was in so much pain, and I just have felt sick all morning, and I don't feel like I can do anything. And this is, I've put makeup on and I'm now here, and it's like, what a lovely job. But it just stops me in my tracks. And so I would like to delete periods, but then I'd still be able to have a baby if I'd like one.
Understood.
Good choice.
See, like, so while yours is boring, mine is just like lazy and vague. But it is true. So it's my truth.
Yeah.
I would like to delete everything. I am having one of those weeks where I'm, it's also Monday. I'm having one of these weeks where just everything's just, I'm just furious. Like, I'm just furious with everything, good and bad. I'm like, oh, how good. Like, terrible. So, yeah, I'd like to delete everything and just float in a pool of, like, very warm water. Like I'd like to be in a womb while you'd like to delete your womb.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Well, that's really good, I think.
Good connection.
I know. Sisters, right? How about you, Henry? What would you delete this week?
I'm going to go with, when I go for dog walks, I realise that people just drop so much unfinished food on the floor. And I would delete all of the food that my dog finds. Because yes. She eats a lot of random, you know. And sometimes you're walking down the road and you're like, who just dropped like a chicken wing, you know? And
yeah,
why did
how
they
sad.
Drop?
What is your daily average screen time like? Just to kick us off.
Yeah, well, so I just looked at the Instagram thingy. I don't have the phone thingy, but it told me I spend 1 hour and 50 minutes on Instagram. Well,
that's
apparently.
So good.
That's good. That
Henry,
awful.
Mine was 9 hours and
not
35
on Instagram.
Minutes.
Not on
my
Instagram.
Phone.
Yeah, but to be fair, most of my time
Instagram.
Is Instagram.
Okay, my Instagram today is 3 hours and 25 minutes. It's only 12:30.
Wow.
But I'm wondering if that's from last night, because I couldn't sleep last night, so I was on my phone at like 4 a.m. Do you reckon it would count today, or is that just
wishful
thinking?
Yeah, as long as it's after, yeah.
Yeah, my Instagram average is an hour and a half.
Oh God, I hate everyone. Right.
Yeah, my Twitter is really bad at the moment. I think I don't really post on Twitter much, but I spend so long staring at Twitter.
Oh my God, yeah. It's yes, like a Twitter's car crash my, Twitter. You can't get
Twitter's
off it,
my big one. And I think as well, it is that thing of it's like when you're, it's like watching a film and the plot twists are so incredible and they also affect your life. So it's like a like an interactive film, and halfway through that film, you can't just be like, oh, I don't care what happens.
I'm going to switch off.
You've got to, so it feels like I'm constantly watching a horror film. And it's interesting, why don't you post on Twitter?
Oh, I don't know. I've just never gotten the knack of Twitter. I think most people are like this. Like, they think they're like kind of good at one of them and, you know, don't know how to do the other. But I don't know how to tweet. People on there are so funny. I'm like, how did you get so funny? But it's not me. I've never mastered it.
You're very visual and your captions are very, like, there's a lot of nuance in your work. So it's almost like Twitter just maybe isn't the platform for your type of work.
I'm too sincere as well. Like, I think Twitter relies on, I mean, maybe this is like me being, but like Twitter loves insincerity. And like very funny insincerity. I'm not like digging on that, but I think I'm like overly sincere, and like Instagram loves that. But if you went on Twitter and were like, you know, just like trying to give those same vibes of like, oh, let's all just be a bit better to each other, like everyone on Twitter would be like, fuck off, you know. Yeah. It's just a different spirit, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Also, it's feeling as well, I think. Something that informs your social media, which one you prefer, is very much, I feel, very much to do with what you feel like you can offer. So, like, you offer so much with your drawings and your illustrations and what that, and you kind of really, like, nailed that.
I mean, this is probably more a Stevie question, but is there any part of social media that you struggle with? Like, do you notice that it makes your mental health worse or anxiety worse or anything like that?
Definitely. Like, I think if I wasn't doing it, like if I wasn't so involved in my job, I might be like one of those social media refusers type thing. I think lots of people have the experience of like, you get loads of FOMO from social media. I don't think I get that. I don't know what I get. I think I just, yeah, I'm just aware of too much, like more than I need to be, news wise, but also like, you know, what's going on in people's lives wise. But I don't get like, I don't know, I don't really get like a FOMO, which I think is lots of people's mental health things.
Do you compare yourself sometimes to, I've always wondered in terms of illustrators on Instagram.
I think I don't super, partly because the people that I follow all do such different things, like, right. And like in a really like healthy way, like where I love the work of everyone. I think I have actually seen people doing fairly similar things to me before and decided not to follow them because yes. I like don't necessarily want that. And I don't want like our work to sort of start getting closer and closer together because I'm like kind of seeing their stuff. So I think I mostly follow people who like, you know, are very much in a similar space and like, you know, have politics that I like and such things. But like, I don't know, what I do is like very specific and very weird, and I don't think like, you know, there's someone who I'm like, oh, they're doing exactly the same thing as me, and then it's directly comparable. But you do see, I don't know, when I really wanted a book to happen, if I saw people doing a book, I would be like, oh, I want that to happen for me. You do compare a bit, but like I think I'm much more like comparing to myself with that, and that's unhealthy. I definitely get like, oh, maybe the cartoons I used to do were better, and maybe, you know, that last post got this many likes and I usually get, you know, whatever, stuff like that. But that's much more comparing to me than to other people, I think.
Yeah, internal.
But there are lots of things in illustration that I never wanted to do that like are people's, you know, huge wins that I'm like, yes, like, I'm so glad you got that you wanted. But that was never... Yes. My goal, you know.
So you're into like sort of meta ethics and stuff like that. Gina tells me, and also I've sort of seen as well. I believe that social media is morally wrong. That's like a stance that I have. I don't really have many stances, and that's also because I think social media has ruined my opinion to have stances.
Yeah, but I know that feeling.
It's terrifying. As someone who sort of studies that and kind of is much more aware of that than I am. Like, how would you respond to that as a statement?
So do you think you're saying that it's morally wrong to engage in social media, or social media makes us do things that are morally wrong, or it's bad for us from a well-being, flourishing human virtue perspective,
flourishing perspective, because I believe that it changes our behavior without us being in control of it or even knowing that we're doing it, because it means that we are at the behest of, well, the creators of social media and what they want us to do, even the things that we've go, but it's fine, I'm just posting a picture of, I don't know, my birthday. It's like, why? Like, it kind of makes, it certainly makes us change our behavior, and I find that to be quite compromising, because it sort of runs off ad money, doesn't it, really? So that's the fact that it's all running off that makes me feel that it is objectively ethically not a healthy thing, even though we do get healthy things from it.
But it's making our lives go badly for us, you know. It was wrong for them to make it such as it is, but for me personally, me using it mostly doesn't make me cruel to other people. It makes my life go badly for me, because it changes my desires in a way that makes them less achievable, almost. Roughly the statement of the position. I'd be tempted to agree with it.
I think, and I would think most people who get pleasure from it, or it helps their careers, or it helps them find connections, even people who get the positives from it, I think if you dug down, I think, because I would agree with that, even though I'm the one who loves social media on this podcast, I think many of us, if we dug down, would say, but do I know how it's making me change my behavior? No, I can't put my finger on that. I can't say it's not controlling me in some way. And that's where it starts to become murky.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Shall we move on to your posts?
First post.
So Gina, please.
So the first post.
What did you find?
It's joy, because when we did our bonus episode in between season one and season two, Henry sent this into our DMs on Might Delete Later Pod on Instagram. And it is your Father's Day card for my dad starring Billy, and actually for my papa starring Billy. And it's a little pen drawing of Billy looking up in a park, and she's saying, I swear to God, if you throw that stick again, you can go get it yourself, dickhead. And it's like the first drawing you did. When you tell us about this, and when you first started drawing, why did you start doing these on Instagram, and what led to that?
Yeah, so 2014. Yeah, that's mad. It's interesting. I think, you know, I did art at school, and I drew dogs, and I would always choose to draw dogs if I was going to draw anything. I think at a certain point, in 2014, I must have gotten the Instagram, and I was like, oh, it would be cool to... I was doing things like this, little cartoons for like family members, maybe in this was like inside his card, I think. And I thought, oh, maybe I should try putting some of these on social media. And then I looked, and drawings of dogs was available on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr. Yeah, I was like, this is a sign. It seemed really weird, but I really didn't, you can probably see, like, the posts were really far apart, at least initially. I really didn't know what I was doing with it. And the second post is me drawing the dog Stella from Modern Family. So I did this series, Drawings of Dogs That Belong to Homeless Individuals. And it was going to be more like that. It was going to be more like drawing dogs that have a role. Right. And having their people, their humans, sort of in the background, and it kind of being about the people, but drawing the dog and getting like a quote from them, maybe like about the dog. We still like that idea.
I've still
got drawings of dogs, but I think that was the initial idea. But then I was just doing more like of the little doodly type things, probably because they took less time. Mm. And I just started posting a few of those. But yeah, that was
like philosophy element come into it.
Well, what I always say is that like they started becoming more like political and about like morality when I dropped out of studying. Because at that point, I didn't have that outlet for that sort of thinking, I guess. Like, it was a side thing. And then when it became a main thing, it had to involve a lot more of, like, my values, if you see what I mean. Like, I couldn't have it be... nothing wrong with doing cartoons that are just jokes, you know. That would be fine. But for me, that didn't work once it was, like, my main focus, if you see what I mean.
Mm, yeah, that makes sense.
When you first started... Did you, because it's quite exposing to put your, I know people that do doodles and love drawing, but the step of putting it on social media is such a huge step for a lot of people. Mm. How did you find that?
Initially, I had the Instagram, but like my real life people didn't really follow the Instagram, but I did post a cartoon on Facebook. But I think probably loads of people do this. What I did was I was like, oh, you know, did a little doodle. And I was secretly hoping that, like, people would love it, you know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You post, like, I think loads of people do this on social media where they're like, oh, not a big deal. And that, like, gives you, like, sort of permission. And also it's, like, maybe, like, good marketing or something because people love to think that you're not trying really hard.
Yes.
I was nervous, but I thought some of the early things were funny. And I thought that other people would. I thought like my friends at least would think they were funny. Mm. And would maybe like them. And I was like, people like dog jokes. People like dogs.
Having a support system so that if you do put something up,
you get a few likes.
Like, I think that's so underrated as a strategy.
Yeah.
Because I've never thought of doing that. I wish I had the gumption to just like when I started doing like online sketches or things, to WhatsApp a few of my friends who I know wouldn't mind and be like, do you mind awfully sharing this? I won't ask you every time and I won't be one of those annoying people, but just it's really exposing and it would have really helped me. Because actually what happens is I get like people will go like, oh, I like your sketch. You're like, why didn't you retweet that?
Yeah, people don't mind. Yeah, especially like your core people.
My whole like career is probably thanks to doing that at the beginning. Like it started on Facebook of me going, hey, this thing happened, can you all please share this petition, or can you all, and I started on Facebook because those are the people, my family, my friends, who will like want to support me because they love and know me and they care about something. And then after that core group got involved, that's when I could then branch out to other social media. So I think everyone should do that if they feel brave enough to.
Most you're proud of. So tell us about the story surrounding this post. I feel like it's quite obvious why you're proud of this post. You can go to @mightdeletelaterpod and see Henry's proud post. But basically, it's you holding your book.
It's me holding my debut book, which is ludicrous. But it's also me, because I used the debut book to propose to my partner, Kitty. So it's a bit of a 1-2 punch of two of my proudest achievements of my life. Number one being that Kitty wants to be with me, and number two being that I got to write my dream book. I'll read the last little bit. I'm using this book because I said Kitty's name should have been alongside mine on the front, but she disagreed, so instead her name will appear at the end. I love you and I like you. Will you be my best friend forever, Kitty Gardner?
Oh, so cute.
You don't put pictures of yourself on your main grid, really. Obviously this was because you had not only get engaged and stuff, or non-engaged book as well. Do you post pictures of yourself when it is only when it's sort of like a big milestone thing? Do you have to have a little think where you're like, is this a me FaceTime?
You know what, I think if I posted a picture of my face and I didn't have massive news, I wouldn't get very many likes. It's not what people are following my page for. And I think, you know, That's just a social media thing, right? That like people follow specific pages for specific things. If you post something that's outside of your wheelhouse, even if it's something that they might like on another page, people don't tend to like it or, you know, share it or engage with it or whatever. I know that there are people who like enjoy my stories, and I think that's a different, you know, yeah. Instagram stories I do a lot of and like show my face on there. But I think that's a different group of people. And I think, you know, if you just want my drawings from my Instagram, I think that's completely fine. And I'm completely happy with that.
Stories yeah. are like, have become, I suppose, for people like yourself, they're like a behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Even me, the nice pic, the really like well done pictures go on my main grid. Where yeah. I'm like, oh, that's a main grid. And then Instagram stories is just like what I'm doing with my day. Like I've just spilt something or, you know, I'm bored or whatever. And then the good, like the stuff that you kind of want to present to the world goes on. You're going to find that really interesting.
That's nice,
very, like,
actually.
Literal with you. Like it is kind of behind the scenes.
I remember when I interviewed you for my book tour in 2019 at the beginning in June, and you said, I remember I think about it all the time. And you said about how you put something out into the world that's good and goodness. It's like empathy and kindness and all these things. You put these things out into the world and you don't necessarily know where they're going to go. Like you can't measure them, but that's the really valuable stuff. And it was a kind of idea that I guess I've always felt, but I've never put into words. And we talked about your kind of career dreams, and you said, well, I want to write this book that when everyone's read it, it makes them considerably kinder. And that was, and that was such a beautiful, I think, idea, because most people, it's like, I want to write the book and I want to be on the Times bestselling list. But it's like this thing that you can't measure, but is actually so much more valuable than the other metrics that maybe you can measure. And I think that's such a beautiful idea. I think about that all the time with my work, because that's kind of what my work is. It's like putting stuff out into the world and hoping that the wave crashes somewhere and it helps something or someone somewhere.
Yeah, that someone's mind was changed. But I think it's mad I think it's amazing that we can write things, or that people can write things, and then you read them and then you think differently about things and then you act differently about things. That's just like,
that's amazing. Yeah.
What? And yeah, I think that's definitely what we aim for.
Worst post. So
yeah,
you didn't really, you said, well, to me, you delete,
I struggle because I delete, I like if there's something I'm not happy with, I delete it. So it's not like I can show my worst post, but I can show a post that I sent to you that is one that I changed. Like I deleted the first post and I changed it because I was told that I was reminded that the wording was exclusionary of some trans people when talking about abortion. It's a pro-abortion cartoon.
Tampon and a condom having a conversation.
Yes. Yeah. And just the first draft of the wording, well, the wording that I posted just referred to women as the people for whom abortions are an important thing. When clearly, like, we know that isn't true. But I used that wording first time around, and then a few people messaged me about it or like commented. But I remember Ash Does Art particularly taking a bit of time to send me like a longer, you know, worded message about, you know, but I knew once they'd pointed it out anyway, but I was, you know, and then it was really useful. And then the thing with my drawings is I can change them quite quickly. So I just, you know, changed that and reposted it.
How does that, like, because I know a lot of people, I guess in your job, and I feel the same in my job, like when you've been doing it for long enough and you're talking about issues that are really nuanced, it doesn't feel, I think a lot of people think we'd be like defensive or whatever, but it doesn't feel like that because you're constantly learning and then you're producing something. And then that comment section is often just an extension of the learning you were already doing. So it's kind of, you can appreciate it actually sometimes when people do that. How do you feel when people ask you to change things? And that's the first question. And do you get held to a high standard in other areas? Do you get messages that you think are unfair, or do you not get that much of that?
I think, as you say, like, I feel pretty good about it because I've been doing it for a while, and, you know, and it's a real, like, opportunity because I have quite a big audience, and because I get to just put my thoughts out there, which, like, you know, who wants to hear my thoughts anyway? But, like,
a lot of people.
But then I get to hear discussion of my thoughts, and that's like such a fast forward way of learning, right?
Yes,
that's such like an accelerator to your learning, to have, like, you know, I could write an essay and I'd get loads of comments on that essay. And, you know, usually you have to pay to go and do a degree to get loads of comments on your essays, right? But I just get them for free. So
and that's actually a really good point of putting it. I'd never thought about that. It does fast forward your learning, especially when you have a community that's supportive and they're just trying to like help you understand
something. Yeah. And there's they have a lot more perspectives than I have in my one brain, you know? So yeah, I really benefit from it.
At the start, when you first started out, was there a point, was there ever, because when you first start getting criticism, constructive or otherwise, you can deal with it sort of a bit like, you can be defensive, because I know that you're saying, you know, obviously you two have been doing it for a while, but at the start, was it sometimes hard to hear that?
It's interesting because, like, Jeannie, you just said, like, do you get held to a high standard? And I think because I'm a cis white man, I don't get held to a very high standard.
And I would probably believe that, yeah.
it's so weird because I see the standards that some people are held to, and they're always people, you know, with multiple oppressions. And I just don't get help. I get comments, I get people being helpful and stuff, but I do think we reserve the most brutal, well, not we, but like society reserves the most brutal vitriol, including like, you know, social justice-y people, for the most oppressed and the most marginalized people. And I mean, I think in some ways it's because it's like no one expects much of me. And sometimes that's like a blessing. And sometimes that can actually be a curse because people are expecting a lot of certain people. So if we're saying that like this speeds up your education, when there are communities that expect a lot from one another, there's a lot of knowledge there. And, you know, people are teaching each other and in community with each other. And I think maybe the fact that I don't get that much critique is a reflection of the fact that not as many people feel like I'm a part of their community.
Yeah, there's not a lot of people in your community that would actually be holding you to account for the same conversations as you, actually. We pick and choose who's more palatable, don't we? Like society picks and chooses who's more palatable and who we decide is doing enough or not doing enough or who should be doing more, depending on what community they come from, what their intersections of oppression are. So if you're not super, super visible and if it's illustrations at the front, it's a lot harder to pick and choose and give you shit because it's not a person that I'm picking on. But also...
When they do see me, they also see that, like, I'm a white man. And
oh my God, you're doing so much. I'll let you be.
But also on the opposite side, it doesn't anger them, you know? It's not like, oh, you're saying this? It's like, do you know what I mean? Which I think is a very strong effect.
It's like Stevie said, you know, we see the bar is so low with some people. Well, the bar is so low here and they're doing so much. Like there's so little expected of you. So I'm not going to engage with it, which is, it's really interesting, actually.
It's interesting,
really interesting. And also, I had a really interesting episode in general.
Thank you so much, Henry Garrett.
An absolute delight, genuinely a real delight. We haven't had anybody who's an illustrator on before, and it's really interesting hearing about. Well, it's just you're very balanced, but also very, very honest, and it was really, really great to chat to you. Yeah, thank you so much. What an absolute gem of a man. Henry. It's just great. Do follow Henry on Instagram at Henry J. Garrett. And also, of course, buy his book. This book will make you kinder at all good bookstores.
And you can follow us at Might Delete Later Pod on Instagram and at Might Delete Pod on Twitter. You can email us any guests you'd like to see on the podcast. Could be literally anyone, unless that they're awful and we don't want to platform them. But we'll make that decision, okay? Don't make that decision for us. Stevie, have you checked the Gmail inbox?
Of course not.
Right, good, because I have. So you can email us at mightdeletelaterpod@gmail.com. And give us a review, subscribe, rate us, it helps people find us. And remember, social media can be a brilliant place for learning more about social justice or drawing.
But it also can be ethically ambiguous and morally wrong.
But however you feel, remember, you can always just take a break or you might as well do it later. Bye! Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.